Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Donna McLean, Assistant Secretary for Budget and Programs and Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel.
Donna, you mentioned earlier in one of our earlier segments the tremendous challenge that the DOT has faced this year in bringing up the Transportation Security Administration. What have been some of the challenges that you've faced in overseeing the department's budget in bringing up the TSA?
Can I first say that even though it's been really very, very challenging to set up TSA or the Transportation Security Administration, it has always also been extremely rewarding. I think that a lot of us felt after September 11th, it was so devastating, and we all had a life-changing experience. And, you know, what can I do on a how can I help help this country heal? And at the department, you know, we have been working phenomenal hours, but we have been doing something, I think, to, you know, help us all heal. And part of that is, you know, if it's not sounding too broad, I mean, too, self-important or something, but I just mean, I think we all feel very strongly that setting up TSA has been both a huge challenge, and we have all sacrifice time with our families because of the hours we're working, but it's also been very, very rewarding and something that we all feel very strongly about. But it is what our requirement from the law was, is to set up a federalized screening workforce by November 19th, 2002. And that is in a year, basically, hire enough screeners at airports, train them, change the equipment so it's improved to cover 429 airports that are just scattered around the country. We didn't even know what that meant. We didn't even know, we still don't know completely how many people we're talking about to complete this effort. So how, you know, usually when you establish a budget, you say, okay, this is our mission. This is how we're going to achieve it, which is usually pretty well laid out. And then this is how many people we need to achieve it. And, you know, maybe there's some gray area, but the whole thing in setting up the TSA was a gray area. You know, yes, we knew that we had to have federal workers in place screening passengers by November 19th, but we immediately went out and tried to survey how many screeners were in place at the time the bill was passed, and we couldn't get a handle on how many people there were, in fact, physically screening people at airports. And so the estimates have gone from, you know, 20,000 people to 70,000 people. And of course, it's not just screening the passengers, because there at least we could go out and get a feel for what's happening today. The law also requires that all baggage be screened by explosive detection systems by the end of this calendar year. We are building that as we speak. So we had to take existing technology or any technology that was perhaps on the edge of becoming certifiable and effective and try to put that in place and to deal with screening baggage. So setting up a budget on how much that all costs has been a huge challenge, just because you have to have the information, obviously, to set up the budget. And I'll just say I've had several of my bosses say, you know, Donna, we need to get this budget number nailed down. But, you know, it's not the budget number. It's all the policy that goes into creating those budget numbers. And it's just been a huge effort to, because, you know, everybody has a different opinion on how to get the job done. And I mean everybody, by people in the Department of Transportation, people in the White House, and people on the Hill, Congress. Everybody has a different opinion on how to get the job done. So it's been a great challenge, but, you know, an experience I will look back on and say, you know, wow, how lucky I was to be in the middle of such a huge challenge.
How are you balancing? You gave an interesting description. How are you balancing what I imagine is a need to go quickly, but a need to be, I guess, as the CFO, to be precise and prudent with money? I mean, what skills do you use to sort of make those two mix?
We're not the only department that's facing this. I mean, this has been just an unfortunate, crazy year for budget cycles. I mean, we had, you know, the supplemental the first supplemental before the end of the fiscal year, and then we had the December supplemental, and then we just passed another supplemental. And then the president made a choice on whether or not he was going to initiate and use the $5 billion in the second supplemental. So, in fact, we didn't actually know what our O2 budget final numbers were until about 6 weeks before the end of the fiscal year. I can't imagine that we have many situations where you're going through to the end of your fiscal year and you don't even know what your budget is until 6 weeks before it ends. So it has been a year of, you know, we have numbers and we're telling you these are the best estimates we have today, but we're collecting information as we speak, and you've got to help and understand that these numbers could change. And that's been hard for everybody, including me. I you know, budget is a sort of world where you think of it as being precise and something that doesn't change. But it's been a little bit fluid this year.
Let me change subjects a little bit. You're a member of the Federal CFO Council. Can you give us an overview of what the council does?
I think the purpose of the CFO Council is to oversee, obviously deal with sort of the issues that all the CFOs are facing. But the CFO Council was fortunate enough, again, under the Bush administration, to have a very significant role because of the presidential management agenda that was laid out by President Bush very early on in his administration. And two of those, of the five presidential management agendas, had to do with issues that usually affect the chief financial officer. One on the financial management, improving financial management, and the second one on linking budget and performance integration. So the CFO Council has taken those PMAs and broken them up, and there's been different councils basically trying to help the government as a whole achieve the goals of the president in those five presidential management areas. So that's certainly one of the, I think, of the main efforts and benefits of the CFO Council.
You're chair of the Budget and Performance Committee within the council. Can you tell us a little bit about the objectives of the committee and perhaps some of the best practices that you've identified?
Yes. Well, let me also tell you how I became the chair. Mark Everson, who is at the Office of Management and Budget, he's sort of the CFO of the entire government. He, I talked to him about this presidential management agenda, which was to link budget and performance. And basically the concept was, you know, if you're going to spend a dollar, tell me what I'm going to get for it. That's a totally reasonable, wonderful philosophy. But I said to Mark, listen, this is great, but how do people get there? I understand the concept, and I've been trying to do this for several years, and I don't get how you get from the theory into the practical world. And he said, well, Donna, I think you're right, and I think you should chair this group and figure it out. So I guess I, you know, unfortunately, I complained and then was asked to head up the group. So it wasn't out of skill set necessarily, probably more out of complaining. Anyway, so I was fortunate enough to have work with a lot of great departments, and we worked with Department of Energy and EPA and some folks from SBA and Interior. I'll probably forget some of them, but we all got together and basically said, you know, we really need a path to get from the theoretical to the practical. And so we put together an approach that perhaps isn't pretty, but we have some more specific guidelines for the departments on how to get from the theoretical to the practical, and that can be a whole hour radio show in and of itself. So I'll just say that Office of Management Budget decided to put it in their A11 guidelines, which are the guidelines on how you develop your budget. So there is some more information that you can find on the website.
Were there any best practices or particular tools and techniques that were being done that are worth mentioning?
To be able to link budget and performance, you have to have a new financial system, or you have to have a new budget system, or you have to have a system to help you do this. And I strongly believe that's a way to procrastinate. And it is really something that I think we just should not have as an excuse for not linking budget and performance. And don't get me wrong, linking budget and performance is extremely difficult, but I don't think we necessarily need new systems to be able to do it. At least maybe in its perfect end state, yes, but in getting there, we don't necessarily have to do that. So best practices, I think, you know, again, I don't want to go into so much depth that we get off all the other topics. But the general practice that we're trying to push people towards is, first, they have to have a performance report that is strong and is something that both is acceptable to OMB, to the White House and the administration, but also to folks on the Hill. Now, again, I'm fortunate that I am CFO of a department that has a very good performance report. And these are the performance reports that were required by GPRA. For the last 2 years, DOT has had the second rating for the Mercatus Institute for the performance report in government. And this year, we were fortunate enough to have the number one rating. So we start with a very strong base. If you don't have a strong performance report, then I think you need to just first off make sure you got a solid, go back and look at your strategic plan and reevaluate whether or not you have the right performance report, because I think that's where it all starts. Then I think you need to make some hard decisions on looking at your budget items. You can start from the bottom up, which is sort of the way I like to look at it, and look at each of your requests and ask yourself two questions. What is this request going to do to improve one of your GPRA goals? Now, you might say, well, how can you answer that question for research? How can I answer that question for a long-term capital procurement project that I'm not going to see it finished in five years? That's a very good question. But then you ask yourself the second question, which is, what is the milestones that I am going to see from this additional $100 million, $5 million, take your pick? So you kind of have to force yourself to say, yes, I know that in the terminology of performance, we have outcome goals and you have output goals. I think you have to ask yourself both. What is the output, meaning what is the milestone in the short term, and what's the outcome? So is this investment, in fact, going to reduce the number of fatalities on highways? And then build up from there.
And that's very good, and it's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Donna McLean of the Department of Transportation. What are the biggest management challenges ahead for the department? We'll ask Donna for her thoughts when the Business of Government Hour continues.